You're listening to the Iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Miss, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Ryan. And you're listening to Season Quinky, otherwise known as Season 5 of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast. The podcast in which Ryan is the expert on Warhammer 40k, and I'm an intermediate. Yes, intermediate now, Ryan. Trying to learn about the Warhammer universe.
We'll see how that goes.
I mean, hopefully it goes well. Like, I know stuff now, at least. Like, I'm not on square one, at least. Like, some stuff is different, distant to my mind brain.
Naturally.
But I know
more. Been doing this a while.
Right? Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
2-3 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
like, on and off, that's not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. Pretty good for us. We usually give up on these things pretty quick.
Like our YouTube channel
and our Twitch channel and whatever else we've ever started.
I mean, we were semi-famous in the game of Shellshock back in the day.
Only that one game.
No. We got an invite to play with Jerome, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
And the thing is, this guy now has like 10 million subscribers on YouTube. We should have jumped on it, Ryan.
We should have, yeah.
Oh, God. We dropped the ball. But it's fine. We're here with Warhammer now, so.
What's that? By the way, I don't know if you've noticed, right? Have you ever played Power Wash Simulator?
Oh, I have.
They have teamed up with Games Workshop, and they are releasing, like, a special add-on pack, which is Warhammer 40k based. And I am buzzing for it. And I think I think we're gonna have to play it together.
I mean, I'm down.
I mean, it has multiplayer now, so it'll be good fun. So, how much do you remember from last time?
With the orcs?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember there was a brief interruption in the broadcast with the Scottish language. We don't talk enough about the orcs.
Yeah.
I mean, and we just talked about the orcs in general, like the snotlings, like everything, and I kind of
Gist of what we've covered so far is essentially orcs are popping up all over the galaxy in larger numbers than ever, and are fucking shit up for everybody, not just humanity.
Yeah, and I don't know if I made the reference last time to Tyranids, because it's like. Especially with spores, it's just like they're just there, and then there are just so many of them.
Yeah, that's the gist, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you've picked up what I've been putting down so far. Orcs are everywhere, and they're bad news for everything.
Yes. But
that's the general theme going forward. So we left off with... Rook, the orc guy that... ended up taking over a bunch of shrine worlds and, you know, breeding incontinent squiggoths in a basilica. We left off with that guy. So...
Yeah.
So the next thing we come to is actually in the year 862 of the 41st millennia. Which, I think I mentioned this a bit at the end of the last one, but how much do you know about the Library of Alexandria?
We've talked about that before.
I think we mentioned it at the end of the last episode a bit.
I think we've talked about it before as well. Go on.
Okay, so basically, you know how they like recreating historical events in 40k and stuff like that?
Yeah?
Yeah. To me, this always sounded like it was kind of that, but a recreation of the burning of Alexandria. Because what happened was... In the year 862 of M41, basically there is a place called Ralifos, which has this massive library of imperial records. And the orcs decided to play the part of the Roman Empire here and burned the place to the ground, destroying unbelievable amounts of imperial records.
Great.
Yeah.
Or not.
Well, good for the orcs, bad for everyone else, I guess.
Yeah.
Orcs burned a giant library. which really doesn't hold much sway in the rest of the galaxy, because I don't think anyone else really cared, but it was entertaining to me.
Just like the structure.
Yeah, well, look, man, that's what we're all about this time. We're orc-based this time. We've got to get behind destruction and hooliganism.
Yeah,
so I'm not entirely sure it's a word, but, you know.
We'll make it a word. It's fine. People understand what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Hooliganism. So, there's a weird thing here, right? We're at a point where, actually, there's big jumps in time, like, more so than usual, because it goes from 862, with the burning of the library, to 886, and this one I actually really enjoy. So the tower, you know, doing stuff, try to expand their empire, you know, usual stuff that spacefaring
Standard.
Races do. You know, they want they want to spread the greater good to more of the galaxy. So a bunch of their Earth cast, their engineers, build this gigantic colony ship so that they can, like, go and expand further. And the ship is called Hope's Light. And the Tau load this massive ship with over 300,000 colonists and soldiers, and then they send it out in the galaxy to go, you know, spread the greater good, whether you like it or not.
We know what's best for you.
Now, see, so far, this is all a great plan. The thing they didn't, like, account for was a giant green dude with his army of slightly smaller green dudes launching themselves through the ship's hull at a few thousand miles per hour. Because that's exactly what happened. An orc called Mega Boss Morkrog decided he wanted this ship, so he just plowed his fleet clean into the side of the thing, boarded it, and murdered all the Tau inside, and then took it as his fleet's new lead vessel.
That's, I mean, effective, but wasn't the Tau highly, like, advanced? Like, how could they let it happen?
Bad planning. But you know what, right? I find something. There's a thing called over-engineering, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the issue that typically comes up from over-engineering is that the simplest thing will then cause failure, because you've thought too much about the complicated part and not nearly enough about the simple part. So I think they've built this gigantic ship and all stuff. They've planned out all the stuff for, like, progressing their empire and colonizing further and all of this, and they didn't bother to think, what if someone just crashes into us and murders us all?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, they've taken precaution for, like, every single logical explanation that could be to an attack that an intelligent race would do to them, like lasers, whatever, shots, whatever it is, right? And then this low IQ plan comes into fruition and just works, because why would they ever do that? Because it's not logical.
Why would they do it? So why would we plan for it? It's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened.
It works on so many levels. It's so good.
So now,
and we believe it's gonna work, so it's gonna work. I'm sorry.
So now Morkrog has control of this gigantic ship called Hope's Light. Killed all the Tau inside, claims it as his own, renames it to Tau Killer. That's the name of the ship now. and then used it to raid Tau worlds for the next 10 years.
Damn.
Take that, Tau. How's your greater good working for you now, Max? So yeah, that's why you don't plan to do things like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So the next one we have is it's a fun one, right? I think we've mentioned him in the past vaguely, but so we're going to be talking about an orc war boss called Tuska, but he was around for a while, right? But we're going to talk about specifically what kicks off with him as of around the year 890 of the 41st millennium. So, orc war boss called Tuska, right? He is leading his wa to go kill some stuff, as per standard. And they're flying through the warp to get places, and out of nowhere, they accidentally hit a demon.
Yeah.
Right? There is a demon who is also flying through the warp, and their ship hits this guy. So he ends up inside the ship. He, like, busts into the main bridge, the command center bit, by accident. They just hit a demon that's also flying through. So the demon naturally goes nuts and starts murdering all the orcs.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually word breaks out in the ship that there is a giant monster murdering everyone on the bridge. And Tuska goes, well, I mean, I want to get involved in this. So Tuska straps on his massive claw hand and marches up there. He gets to the bridge, finds this giant nightmare beast murdering and slaughtering all of his orcs, and just sets about it.
As you do.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough battle for everyone involved, but eventually Tuska kills it, and he takes its horns as a trophy. He rips the horns off of a demon to keep as a trophy.
That's so savage to think about.
Oh, he's an absolute nutcase.
Yeah.
But because it was such an aggressive creature and it was so powerful, this was Tuska's favourite fight he's ever had, and he wants more like it. So he sets out a plan for how to find more demons to kill.
Yeah.
So his plan is to gather up as many weird boys as he can. In this case, it'll be the magical orcs, like shamans and stuff, and use them to get him past the defenses at Cadia. Because rather than getting out of the Eye of Terror, he wants to go the other way. He wants to go past Cadia into the Eye of Terror. His plan works. He manages to bullshit his way past the Cadian defenses, gets into the Eye of Terror, and then starts attacking Demon World.
I should too.
Yeah. So it turns out this big-ass orc with a claw for a hand landing on different worlds and murdering demons takes the the attention of Khorne. Because not only is this creature, you know, really benefiting Khorne, because it's, you know, blood for the blood god and all that, it's really murdering a lot of stuff, it's also killing a bunch of his rivals. Because it's like, look, Tuska's like landing on the worlds of, like, you know, Nurgle's demons or Slaanesh's demons, stuff like that, and murdering them all. So this dude's taking out Khorne's rivals as well as just murdering a load of stuff. So Khorne's like, my man, what a guy.
He's like, yeah, you keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good, boo.
Exactly. Khorne's liking this dude.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, Tuska, because he's moving world to world, finding new stuff to kill. And eventually he lands on one of Khorne's demon worlds, which is ruled by, crash lands on one of the demon worlds. It's a flesh planet, which is a really disgusting concept, and I'm not going to talk about it because it's really Megan. But you can imagine. But this world is ruled by a demon prince known as the Blood Prince, and he's one of Khorne's big boys, right? I want you to know, by this stage, Tuska has started calling himself Tuska the Demon Killer. So Tuska ends up in this massive battle with one of Khorne's like lead dudes, the Blood Prince, and both sides take heavy losses. Tuska's orcs obviously get absolutely ravaged by the ungodly amount of demons that are there. Well, I suppose they're quite godly because they're demons of a chaos god. So. Whatever. Anyway, everyone gets fucked up, basically. The orcs inflict mass casualties on the demons. The demons basically wipe out the orcs in the end, though. And it eventually comes down to this, like, one-on-one brawl between the Blood Prince and Tuska. And unfortunately, the Blood Prince is significantly tougher than Tuska was. So as he is about to, like, finish off Tuska, one of the weird boys throws some crazy magic shit at the Blood Prince, and when he, like, looks over at this guy, like, what the fuck are you doing? Tuska stabs him in the groin.
Okay.
Unfortunately, impaling, like, greater demons doesn't really, Chaos Princes and stuff, doesn't necessarily kill them, so the Blood Prince just got more pissed off and domed Tuska and killed him.
As she do.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tuska was dead seconds after he impaled the dude. So there's that. So Tuska's gone. The Blood Prince's army are all, like, they're pretty fucked up, but they basically just mop up the last of the orcs that are there, the last of Tuska's dudes. No big deal, you know? Like, without their leader, orcs become pretty shitty, so the demons kind of have their way with them after that. But, you gotta remember, Khorne's been watching this, because Khorne liked this dude, right? So Khorne's been paying attention, and he was like, that was pretty cool, I liked that, I liked watching that, it was a good show. So, he loved it so much that he brought everyone back to life so that they could do it again. He fixed the orcs and then just let them fight again.
Okay.
Yeah. And as it kind of, as this progresses as a bit of a cycle, Khorne is so enthralled by the majesty of Tuska and the fact that every demon he kills makes him slightly tougher and slightly bigger, he decides, you know what, I'm keeping these guys. So he drags all of them into his personal domain, into like just the area of the warp specifically built for Khorne. So in front of Khorne's massive palace, every day, Tuska and all his orcs come back to life, fully healed and everything, and battle a bunch of Khorne's elite guards. This has been going on for like hundreds of years now. Every day the sun rises, the orcs come back to life and battle again.
But how big are they then? Like,
they must be fucking gigantic now.
Because like it must be like for Khorne, like this show just gets better and better. Because
orcs get tougher every time.
Exactly. It's a win-win. Holy shit.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's that. That's pretty fun. For the record, though, Tuska fucking loves this shit. Like, he knows exactly what's happening. He knows he keeps dying, coming back. And he does not give a shit. Because these are, like, the best battles he's ever had. He's loving every minute of it.
Yeah, it gets better for him, too.
Exactly. And that is the story of Tuska the Demon Killer.
Well done.
Yeah.
Both tragic in its way and, like, awesome as well.
Yeah, that's accurate.
You know, because it's like, I feel like he could be doing more, but if it keeps him occupied, it does.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's going to come a point where we're going to see Tuska the Demon Killer again at some point, because,
you know what I mean?
Like, the end of his story is that this is his life from now on, as far as we've been told, but like, all of the fans like this character, because that's such a great story about, like, what is going on with this one mad orc. Like, at some point, surely Khorne's going to be like, I'm just going to point this guy at some enemies.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you say, that's his story now, until it might not be. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's exactly it. It can progress into something new.
Exactly. Plus, he is way beyond stronger what he was. Like, and always becomes stronger and stronger and stronger.
Exactly.
Right? So it's going to be an even better character, stronger character for when, you know, maybe that storyline changes.
Yeah, I feel like what the best thing to do with him would be Khorne pointing him at one of the other Chaos Gods. So if Khorne gets really fucked off with Nurgle at some point, he's like, I could go send my demons, or I could send this absurdly huge orc that's amazing at killing demons. Just like throw him at Nurgle, like, go!
Yeah.
Fight his ankles. And also, the other thing is that Nurgle's diseases don't work on orcs.
Oh, that's very handy.
Well, they're mycelia-based organisms. Nothing like there is like one disease that affects mushrooms, and it's basically just a rotting sickness. So yeah, they're basically immune to Nurgle's bullshit.
Yeah, so don't step up to him.
Yeah. Also, because the only thing they want to do is fight, they're basically immune to anything Slaanesh could do to them. What are you going to do? Give them more battle lust. You know what I mean? You can't trick an orc. Orcs don't give a shit what you say. So, like, Zeen just fucked too. He's like, they're like the perfect troops to just throw at another Chaos God and just have them cause havoc.
How awesome would that actually be, though? Like,
it'd be really cool.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
This Tuska going around taking out, like, the other chaos princes for the other gods.
Yeah, and that would be kind of cool.
It'd be funny if that's how, like, Mortarion dies. Chaos Primarch killed by a gigantic demon murdering orc. That would be fucking what a awesome.
What a way to go out.
I know, right? I think he would be the first Primarch ever killed by an orc. Which would be fun. So we move forward a bit further. That whole story starts off in like 890 of M41.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it progresses past that point. So the next thing that kind of starts off in the timeline is 8 years later in 898. This one just has the most ridiculous name ever. There's a guy called the Mighty Mangler of Bork.
Mm-hmm.
And that is genuinely this orc war boss's name. It is a horrendous name, and I hate it. Basically, he builds a giant fleet of battle wagons, which are basically just their scrap cars. And he armors them from tip to toe, basically. The whole things are armored to hell and back, and then uses this massive fleet of vehicles to go fuck up all the Imperial defenses along the galactic edges, and then takes over a bunch of the ghoul stars, which is a totally pointless thing to do, because the reason we defend that area, the reason the Imperium defends that area, is to keep things from coming out of it, not to stop things going in.
Yeah.
So we probably just rebuilt the defenses after he passed by and was like, all right, one more thing to keep in there. We jump forward another 9 years, so around 907 of M41. We're getting towards end of the millennia, and that's when shit really goes sideways for everyone, as I'm sure you remember.
Yep.
Yeah. So, 907, we have an Imperial, this is the point where Imperial commanders clock on to what we've kind of talked about so far, which is that orcs are appearing fucking everywhere and no one can stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know how they haven't noticed it over the last 100 years, but this is the point where they're this is becoming an issue. So, galaxy-wide, the Imperium is we really need to, ramp up the defenses here and keep an eye on these green fuckers.
We should probably think about doing something to them.
We should probably, have a look into this. Sorry, I need, 2 seconds, because my headphones are going to die. I need to find my charger. Give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, in the meantime, if Ryan doesn't edit this out, I will find some funny dead jokes I will read for you guys. Wait, is that even better?
Yeah.
Warhammer jokes. Alright. I have two. The first is this. An Imperial Guardsman, a Space Marine, and an Inquisitor walks into a bar, and the Guardian says, "Ow!" The Marine breaks right through the bar with his rainforest skull. The Inquisitor accuses the bar of heresy. When the bar refuses to confess or even move despite sustained torture, the Inquisitor executes the guardsman for failing to defeat the bar in combat.
Did you just start telling a joke while I was away?
No. Certainly did not, Ryan.
No, of course not. You never do that. It'd be silly.
All right, continue. You were back before anticipated.
Okay.
All right.
So, we've got another kind of big one here, right? We've not even reached, the big parts of the orc storyline, but this is a bit of a big one. So, bear with for this one. This is a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn more about orcs here. So, we come to 925, year 925.
Yes.
We have an orc war boss named Grax. I was going to say Drax, that's a very different guy. Grax. And he is leading his army, his Wa, into battle in a system around the planet Ryza. And I don't know if I've mentioned Ryza to you before, but Ryza is a Mechanicum Forge world. It's one of the Mechanicum's main bases.
Yeah.
So it's strategically incredibly important to the Mechanicum and to the Imperium because it produces all the tanks and stuff and weapons and things like that. So we have Wa Grax ransacks this joint. So this is a serious threat, right? There's a massive orc army just turned up over a Forge world. We need to fucking stop this. So the Imperium orders all the surrounding planets to ramp up like production of troops and to provide shitloads of soldiers, like normal guardsmen, to defend from this. And every planet within 10 light years has to provide these troops. So, again, this is all just to fight this Orc War. But one of the planets, that Ulani that you can see kind of to the top left of Ryza there, that planet ended up conscripting 4/5 of its total population. 80% of the population were handed guns and sent off to fight the orcs. And on the other side of it, you've got Katachan is within this. And I don't know if how much you remember Katachan, the jungle fighters are all dressed like Rambo. But yeah, that planet happens to be really near Ryza. So those Katachan jungle fighters were like, sent in mass numbers to take on the orcs. And Katachan jungle fighters are a great like countermeasure for orcs. They happen to be like great for fighting orcs. You gotta think about it. They're ridiculously aggressive in a very similar way to the orcs, but they're much smarter than the orcs. So they actually are like weirdly good for fighting orcs. And this leads into this massive war that lasts like 72 years just for this one planet, Ryza. And again, it's total carnage because the sheer number of orcs constantly flooding in to protect the planet itself, like the actual Forge world itself, the Imperial Navy blockades the planet, right? So no ships can get in or out, basically. But all the surrounding planets are being ravaged by the orcs. And the orcs are constantly throwing things at the Imperial blockade around the planet as well. But the orcs are, there's way too many of them, and they keep coming in from nowhere. So they start pushing back the Imperium pretty heavily. There's mass casualties on the Imperial side. The only thing that really manages to hold back the orcs in any area at all is the Katachan soldiers. They're the only thing that's able to like hold them back properly. So that planet Ulani that put up 80% of its population as troops, they managed to keep like one continent of that planet because of the Katachans. And that's it. It's stuff like that. These were the only guys that could mount a successful defense against the orcs, really, in any meaningful way. Yeah. But again, Imperium's getting totally fucked up in this area, but they cannot lose Ryza. That's the most important part here. Because Forge worlds produce so much of the Imperium's weapons and armor and stuff like that. It's essential for the war effort galaxy-wide. So, it kind of progresses once a guy called Commander Ragrot turns up, who is one of the orc commanders. So, there's a thing that happens with orcs, as you know, they are drawn into battle, right? So when there's a massive army of orcs already battling, that draws more orcs in. And this went on for so long that other orc Wa's kept being led in to join the orcs by other like by the fact that there's such a big battle going on for so long. Commander Ragrot is one of these guys, right? He has a fleet of ships though. So he is led in by this massive war that's going on. He comes in with his fleet of ragtag, shoddy scrap ships and manages to punch a hole through the Imperial blockade so they can get to Ryza. So, yeah, he really throws a spanner in the defensive. And suddenly, there's orc troops on the Forge world, like landing on the ground, which is a serious issue. Thing is though, once you land on a Forge world, it kind of pisses off the Mechanicum. Attack all the planets around it all you want. Mechanicum's not that bothered. But a forge world is a holy place to them. That whole planet is a holy place to them. So the second there was an orc on the ground, the Mechanicum like stood up. Nope, enough of this. Done with this shit. This ends here. But the orcs were not fucking around either. They got heavy troops onto this planet, right? So they've got their, I'll show you, they've got Stompas, which are their version of, like, the mini titans, right? And Gargants, which are their version of actual titans, and they are fucking gigantic.
Seems like it.
I'll show you, actually, that's not it. That's not it. Where's the one? Here we go. That is an Imperial Titan fighting a Gargant. So they are absolutely gigantic. They were landed these fucking things on Eriza and wrecking the joint. So now that they've pissed off the Mechanicum, though, the Mechanicum rolls out their troops. So suddenly there's trench lines full of, like, actual guardsmen and, like, Skitarii troops from the Mechanicum and all that. And then you've got, like, freshly built Lehman Russ tanks rolling out of the factories straight to the battle. Stuff like, as soon as it rolls off the assembly line, five troops pile in and drive the fucking thing over to blow up some orcs. So they were just like, everything we've got is going to this war effort now. Now, obviously, the Gargants and Stompas are your main issue, though, right? A sea of orcs is one problem, but the human-sized troops can kill them with guns. But human-sized troops can't do shit to a titan-sized, like, you know, scrap robot. But I don't know if you remember, every Forge World is protected by a very special type of defensive troop.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all protected by a Titan Legion. In this case, it is Legio Crucius, or the low Gothic name is the Warmongers. These guys have been around, well, forever, basically. These guys fought in the Heresy and everything. These are, like, OG, ancient, properly built Titans. So, once, like, the massive orc robots start landing on the planet, the ancient Titan Legion all just, like, come to life and they're like, let's do this. Proper Gundam shit. Proper mass-scale warfare going on. And yeah, you end up with stuff like this. Titans fighting Gargants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, by the way, once these guys were involved, once the Titan Legion was involved, this was now considered to be one of the greatest wars in the 41st millennia. If a war requires the assistance of a full Titan Legion on their own homeworld, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that showed you how many orcs there actually were and how much of a threat they really were.
Yeah.
This grows to be one of the biggest and bloodiest wars in the 41st millennia. Although, in the end, Wagrax was led into, like, a final battle by the Imperial forces, led by a guy called Mordred von Hordrick, I think it was. Anyway, Commander Mordred von Hordrick ends up leading them into, like, one big final stand. It's a battle called the Battle of Desolation Valley. It's a cool title.
Yeah. It really is.
Unfortunately, in this battle, because of, you know, good planning on the Imperial part, they managed to, like, whittle away the vast majority of the orc forces until they're not really much of a war anymore, and the threat kind of dissipates from there. Unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Would have loved to see the orcs take out Ryza. Would have been a good time for everyone, because we support the orcs this time.
Yeah.
Any other season, like, fuck those orcs. But this season, fuck them humans.
It's their time.
Yeah.
It's the orcs' time.
Exactly.
I've always liked the orcs.
They're cool. I really would have loved to, like, deep dive into this particular scenario a bit more, but unfortunately there isn't really much more information about it, because this stuff all came from, like, 5th and 6th edition. And we're on 10th now. And they never really expanded on it any further. So, like, the vast majority of the information comes from a bit of 5th edition, a bit of 6th edition, and the 3rd edition Orc Codex. So it's never really been elaborated on in much detail. So that commander is never mentioned anywhere else. And there's no story for that commander at all, about who they were or what they did. And there's no detail about what happened in the Battle of Desolation Valley.
Well,
Yeah,
shit.
so it's very unfortunate, but yeah, they never happened to expand on this point very much. Maybe in future they will, which would be quite cool, but yeah, it's not happened yet, unfortunately.
Dang it. Someday.
I want you to know, I think that's a good place to leave off today. Just so everyone knows, we are aiming to do slightly shorter episodes in this season because it's a lot of information being thrown out every time and it's very hard to keep track of. So, that first episode we did, I feel like by the end of it, everyone's eyes are kind of glazing over because it's just nonsense orc names being thrown out every 5 seconds. And they all
Stop
kind of
names.
bleed together if you get too
Weird
many too
boys.
quickly. So we're going to try and
Yeah.
have shorter episodes in this season. Just so you know. Not insubstantial, but shorter.
Yeah.
But we're in a good position if we stop off here, because it means that the next episode we're getting right into like the big boy of the orcs. The main story of the orcs next time. And I think
All
that's a good
right.
way to do it.
I think so as well. Well,
Yeah.
do you want me to round it off then, Ryan,
Yeah,
for
go
this
for
time?
it.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Seizing Quinky in the Iterators of the Empire. Oh, I should just say season five.
You should, but it's funny.
It's funny. You know, I'm gonna continue with the joke then until people tell me to actively stop. Other people than you.
Yeah, of course. Don't listen to me.
But yeah. Oh, do you want to show the short Rick rhyme? Just like
Oh,
a
yeah,
little
actually, yeah, I should do that.
homage to our boy Rhyman. Oh, sorry, to Endman.
Yeah, wrong boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You are the Rhyman and he's the Endman. That's the
Yeah.
Black Legion shirt. But
Yes,
yeah,
Black
this has
Legion, an
been
incredible metal band, if that's what you're into. Absolutely worth checking out. They have an EP and I've got a few singles on Spotify. Easy to find. Definitely worth checking out.
100%, 100%.
100%. And they now have merch.
Then I have merch, hence why Ryan has that shirt on.
Yeah, aye.
I need to
The
get one as
lead
well.
guitarist threw at me during a concert. Good times. You know what,
Good
actually,
time.
in future, if we're doing like a season about like the Black Legion or something like that, I'm 100%
Oh.
gonna get them to do like an intro or see if I can like use a sample of one of their songs in the intro music.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Would be very cool.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode. It's been me, Mess, and Ryan, and we will see you in the next one. Take care and peace.
Bye.